The formation of the Scandinavian kingdoms took place during an era when historical facts were closely intertwined with oral traditions and sagas. As a result, different and sometimes conflicting versions of these events have come down to us. This exposition combines established facts with legends and epic tales, and therefore does not always allow for a definitive determination of the truth. The Viking Age was a turning point in the history of Scandinavia. By raiding numerous countries, the Vikings brought home great wealth, and with those they could not plunder, they traded, which enriched Scandinavia even further. Local chieftains and jarls acquired significant resources. Now they could do more than just rule small territories. They could conquer vast lands and establish their own kingdoms. One of these konungs was the semi-legendary ruler of Vestfold, Halfdan the Black. We know of him mostly from sagas, which give us very limited information. It is known that he waged a prolonged war against King Gandalf, the ruler of Alfheim, specifically over the neighboring petty kingdom of Vingelmark. Neither Halfdan the Black nor Gandalf achieved victory, so the petty kingdom was divided between them. Afterward, Halfdan traveled to the Norwegian highlands. By conquering the local petty kingdoms there, he became one of Norway's most powerful rulers. Halfdan possessed wealthy lands and sufficient resources to continue his conquests, a powerful fleet, and a strong army. Even so, in the winter of 860, returning from a feast, Halfdan the Black drowned in a lake. His son Harald was only 10 at the time, and neighboring rulers already planned to divide his territories. The first to invade Vestfold were the forces of King Gandalf. Harald's uncle, Guthorm Sigurdsson, stepped in for the young konung. First, he defeated the invading army on land, then at sea, and ultimately conquered Alfheim. In gratitude, Harald appointed him governor, Jarl, of Oppland. Harald became known by two nicknames, Lufa and Harfagri. According to one saga, he sought to court Princess Gita, daughter of King Eirik of Hordaland. She refused, calling him a petty king. Harald then vowed to become ruler of all Norway and pledged not to cut his hair until he achieved this. That earned him the nickname Lufa, and later, when he became king and finally cut his hair, he was called Harfagri. There are many traditions and several sagas about Harald Fairhair, each offering differing versions of the same events. A vivid example is the story of the petty kingdom of Sonnen. According to one source, Harald inherited it from his maternal grandfather, Harald Goldenbeard. According to another, Harald's half-brother, who bore the same name, inherited it but died young, and the kingdom passed to Halfdan the Black and later to Harald himself. All sagas agree that Harald Fairhair kept his word. In 866, he conquered Värmland, and in 870 he marched northward in Norway through Trøndelag, Jämtland, Namdalen, and Hålogaland. Choosing an unexpected overland route through the mountains rather than a sea approach, he defeated one of the most powerful local kings, Greiting, in the Battle of Orkdal. Harald's campaign was evidently successful. When he reached Namdalen, the local king, Gerlaug, took his own life to avoid battling Harald. The young king easily subdued the region by force and diplomacy. He also secured the lands of Jarl Håkon the Old, ruler of the Trondheim Fjord. One exposition says Harald first tried to defeat him in battle but failed, so he made Håkon his ally. He married Håkon's daughter, gifted him land, and appointed him Ladejarl, governor of the north. Another version says Harald did not wage war at all. He immediately made Håkon Ladejarl and married his daughter, valuing the Jarl's wisdom and generosity. At about the same time, Harald had a conflict with Jarl Atli the Slender, governor under the king of Sonnen. Two opposing versions exist. One depicts Atli as a harsh ruler who withheld royal taxes. The other describes him as just, defending the people when royal warriors began looting. In both versions, Harald asked Håkon the Old to deal with Atli. Both Jarls died in battle. Having gained his father-in-law's fleet, Harald continued to subjugate Norway. In the Mora region, he defeated combined local armies in two battles near the island of Solsnes. He granted the conquered lands to his ally, Jarl Rognvald the Powerful, whose sister he also married. From then on, Harald the Thick-Haired, Lufa, became Norway's most powerful konung, ruling from the river Elva to Finnmark. Harald's rising power drew the attention of Western Norwegian rulers. King Erik, whose daughter Harald had courted, began raising forces against him. He was supported by the kings Tjotve the Rich of Agder, the king of Rogaland, Sulke, and the Jarls of Telemark, the brothers Guth Herder and Groald Hrieg. Learning of this, Harald marched to confront them in 872. In the naval battle of Hafrsfjord, Erik and Sulke were killed, and Tjotve fled. Harald triumphed and became the first king of a united Norway. According to the sagas, after 10 years of warfare, Harald Fairhair ruled Norway for 60 years. After Norway's unification, Harald focused on consolidating his kingdom. The main threat came from independent Viking bands with their fleets. They were not eager to submit to royal authority. Under Harald, no sea voyage could be undertaken without royal permission. Such travels were led mostly by his sons. Other Vikings were expelled from the country. Many migrated to newly discovered Iceland, founding colonies there. Others fled to the British Isles and the newly Viking-ruled lands, from where they continued raids. Not only on other countries, but against Norway as well. In response, Harald Fairhair assembled a fleet and led a campaign in 875, plundering the Danelaw, while his ally Jarl Rognvald the Powerful conquered minor islands and was appointed governor there. His descendants became the ruling dynasty of the former Norse island kingdoms. Formerly part of Norway, these realms acted as separate entities. According to folklore, Harald Fairhair had 20 sons. It is unclear if they were all his biologically or if some were later attributed to bolster claims to the Norwegian throne. Of these sons, the most famous was Erik Bloodaxe. In his youth, raiding the Baltic and North Sea coasts, he earned a reputation as a ruthless and successful Viking. After his father's death, Erik inherited the crown. As king, Erik was also cruel. He killed his brothers out of fear of betrayal. Only Hakon survived, sent to England as a hostage in his youth. 4 years later, Norwegians grew tired of Erik's tyranny and expelled him. Hakon became king. Unlike his elder brother, King Hakon was thoughtful and generous, earning him the epithet the Good. He issued Norway's first codified law collection, which, among other things, allowed Norwegians to depose a king who failed to satisfy them. According to Norwegian sagas, Hakon was a Christian and tried to convert Norwegians to the new faith, but he was unsuccessful. Harald's successes caught the attention of other Scandinavian kings, and they too began campaigns of conquest. In Denmark, the idea of a single ruler began to take shape, and many kings began calling themselves Kings of All the Danes. Nevertheless, it's unclear whether they actually ruled all of Denmark, or if this was attributed to them later. Some Danish kings are even mentioned in European chronicles, among them Gudfred, Helga, Horik, Harald Klak, and many others. They all entered history as ruthless raiders of the Frankish Empire's coasts. That is precisely why they appear in those chronicles. Of course, the most famous among all the legendary Danish kings was Ragnar Lodbrok, the very embodiment of the Viking. He raided England and Francia and laid siege to Paris. His fame in Scandinavia was so great that nearly every king wished to claim descent from Ragnar Lodbrok. Even the previously mentioned Harald Fairhair was, according to some sagas, considered his descendant. Among others, a semi-legendary king named Hardeknud also claimed descent from Ragnar Lodbrok through his son Sigurd Snake in the Eye. In his youth, Hardeknud lost his ancestral lands, which were seized by the Swedish Viking Olaf. The young Hardeknud went into exile in Norway. Around the year 917, he returned to Denmark. There, he served under King Sigtrygg, who ruled northern Jutland. But almost immediately, he rose in rebellion against him and took his territories. Hardeknud settled in Yelling, ruled there for 30 years and founded the Knutlinga dynasty. Hardicanute's son, Gorm the Old, could also have been seen as a king of legend and saga. Nonetheless, he had a runestone erected in memory of his wife after her death. This is one of the key pieces of evidence confirming his real historical existence. Gorm continued his father's legacy of conquest. Unexpectedly, he received help from the German king Henry the Fowler. In 934, Henry invaded Denmark and, in the Battle of Hedeby, defeated Olaf's son, King Gnupa. This greatly weakened Gnupa, and Gorm was able to drive him out of Jutland. From then on, Gorm ruled jointly with his son, Harald Bluetooth. While commanding his father's forces, Harald conquered not only the Danish islands, but also the province of Scania. Thus, Gorm and Harald became kings of all Denmark. Even then, Harald leaned toward Christianity, allowing churches to be built in his lands. In the year 965, Harald Bluetooth baptized his kingdom. According to some legends, Harald did this to avoid giving German Emperor Otto the Great a reason for war. According to others, it happened after the Emperor invaded and the Danes lost their wealthy port at Hedeby. There is also a tale about the missionary Poppo, who convinced the Danish king to convert to Christianity by holding a red-hot iron in his hands without being harmed. The Danish king also had ambitions for Norway. As early as 961, he gave troops to Harald Greycloak, son of Eric Bloodaxe, so that he could reclaim Norway from his uncle Hakon the Good. At the Battle of Fitjar, Harald Greycloak and his brothers defeated their uncle. The Norwegian king died in the battle, and Harald Greycloak became the new ruler of Norway. Soon afterward, Harald Bluetooth managed to win over Ladejarl Hakon Sigurdsson to his side, whose father had been burned alive by the new Norwegian king. In 970, Jarl Hakon lured his king to Denmark to a meeting with Harald Bluetooth. There, the Norwegian king was killed. Norway was divided. Harald Bluetooth received the lands of Viken, while the rest was ruled by Hakon Sigurdsson, who paid tribute to the Danish king. Harald tried several times to retake Hedeby. In 974, he even managed to capture it. But when Emperor Otto II launched a campaign, the Germans retook the city and plundered all of Jutland. Only in 983, when German control in the region weakened due to a revolt of the Pelabian Slavs, were the Danes able to reclaim the wealthy port. In 985, Harald Bluetooth decided to try the same tactic with the Swedes. He gave refuge to Sturbjörn the Strong, the nephew of the Swedish king Eric, and provided him with troops to fight his uncle. Eric was a renowned warrior, said in the sagas to be descended from the semi-legendary Viking Bjorn Ironside. Eric met the Danish-backed army on the plain near the Swedish capital of Uppsala. In this battle, Eric triumphed and earned the epithet the Victorious. He also managed to extend his power southward by conquering the land of the Yates, becoming the first Swedish king to rule both the Swedes and the Yates. Though here too different versions exist. In the sagas of the island of Gotland, it is claimed that already in the 9th century, after ongoing wars with the Swedes, in which the Gotlanders always emerged victorious, they voluntarily submitted to the kings of Svealand in exchange for their laws and customs remaining untouched. Still, most scholars are skeptical of this version of Gotland's history, considering it a 13th century invention to legitimize the island's self-rule. Toward the end of Harald Bluetooth's reign, his own son, Swain Forkbeard, rose against him in 986. Several legends attempt to explain why. One tells that Harald, wanting to erect a runestone in honor of his father, harnessed Danes like oxen to drag the stone into place, an act that deeply offended the common people. They rose up alongside Swain. Another version says that Swain opposed the Christianization of Denmark, destroyed churches in Zealand, defeated the royal army, and killed his father. But due to this, Danish Christians came to hate the new ruler, forcing him into exile and leaving him wandering in foreign lands for 14 years. European chronicles claim that palace intrigue forced King Harald to march against his son. The king lost and fled to the Viking stronghold of Jomsborg, where he died of his wounds. When Swain Forkbeard became king of Denmark, the Lodejarl Hakon Sigurdsson stopped paying tribute. The Danish king then hired the Joms Vikings to raid Norway. Their fleet was defeated, and the Norwegians ceased tribute payments. In 994, Swedish King Erik the Victorious invaded Denmark. This time, Swain waited for the Swedish king's death, and a year later reclaimed his kingdom. Olaf Tryggvason was the great-grandson of Harald Fairhair. He spent his youth in exile outside of Norway. He first lived in Rus, where he served as a mercenary for Prince Volodymyr the Great. Later, in 982, he gathered his own band of Vikings and settled in the Baltic. There, he earned fame for his raids. After pillaging the region, he headed west, married the widow of the King of Dublin, and ruled that kingdom. When rumors of Olaf Tryggvason reached Norway, local ruler Jarl Hakon Sigurdsson sent a spy to kill him. Instead, the spy befriended Olaf and urged him to return to his homeland. While Olaf was sailing to Norway, the Norwegians revolted against Jarl Hakon and welcomed Olaf as their new king. Olaf Tryggvason founded the city of Nidaros and made it his capital. He was also a Christian and attempted to convert Norway, although he didn't fully complete the task. After retaking eastern Norway from the Danes, he quarreled with Swain Forkbeard. Swain then allied with Swedish King Olaf, son of Erik the Victorious. In the year 1000, as Olaf Tryggvason returned from the Baltic Sea, they ambushed and destroyed his fleet at the Battle of Svolder. The Norwegian king perished in the battle. After this, Norway was divided among its neighbors. Some lands, Viken to Denmark, Värmland to Sweden, came under direct control. The rest, northern Norway under Svein Håkonsson and western Norway under Erik Håkonsson, were ruled by the sons of Jarl Hakon Sigurdsson on behalf of the Danish and Swedish kings. Both kings became even more powerful after this victory. Olaf moved his capital to Sigtuna. There, he began minting his own coins and became the first Swedish ruler to issue money. Olaf collected taxes in these metal coins, which is why the Swedes nicknamed him Skutkonung, since coins were commonly carried in a pocket, called skuta in Old Swedish. The name Skutkonung literally meant coin king or king of the pocket. Olaf also became the first Christian king of Sweden and began introducing the new religion in his lands. Yet even by the end of the 11th century, pagans remained a significant political force in Sweden. Swain Forkbeard, whose sister had been killed in England, set out to conquer the island kingdom. The conquest dragged on, and it was his son Knut who finally brought it to an end. For his victories, Knut earned the epithet the Great. While Knut fought in England, Denmark was ruled by his younger brother, Harald II, who died in 1018 under mysterious circumstances. Thus, Denmark also passed to Knut the Great. Olaf Haraldsson was the godson of Olaf Tryggvason and a descendant of Harald Fairhair. He spent his youth in exile, joining a band of Joms Vikings. He raided the lands of the Baltic, Frisia, and England. Before long, he gathered his own band of Vikings and settled in Normandy, where he converted to Christianity. When he learned that Knut had taken his army to conquer England, Olaf set sail to reclaim Norway from the Danes. He easily took western Norway and captured the young Jarl Hakon Eriksson through cunning. Upon arriving in Viken, the local Norwegians overthrew the Danish governors and proclaimed Olaf their king. When Swain Håkonsson learned of Olaf's arrival, he gathered a fleet and sailed to fight him. Yet, at the Battle of Nesjar, Swain was defeated and fled Norway. The entire kingdom now came under Olaf's control. To strengthen his power, he made peace with the Swedish king Olaf Skutkonung. This peace was meant to be sealed by the marriage of Olaf to the Swedish princess Ingegerd, though she was instead married to Yaroslav the Wise of Rus. To maintain the peace, Skutkonung gave Olaf his illegitimate daughter in marriage. Thus, Sweden and Norway secured peace in 1019. The new king was a zealous Christian and promoted the faith both peacefully and by force. The Norwegian nobility opposed this coercion and appealed to the Danish king Canute for help. In 1026, Canute led a fleet and defeated the combined Norwegian-Swedish fleet at the mouth of the Helgia River. Olaf fled to Rus, and by 1028, Canute had conquered all of Norway. He did not impose the Christian faith, so Norway remained largely pagan. In 1029, Olaf returned to Sweden and received military aid from his brother-in-law, Anund Jakob. He crossed the mountains and invaded Norway. Near Stiklestad, he encountered the pagan Jarl's forces. Although outnumbered 3-1, Olaf chose to fight and was killed. It seemed Norway would now remain forever under Danish rule. However, Olaf's death had a greater impact on Norwegian history than his reign. News of his death spread throughout the kingdom, sparking rebellion against the Danes. Olaf was proclaimed a saint. Christian missionaries began portraying him as a good king unjustly martyred by pagans, greatly accelerating the Christianization of Norway. By 1035, after the death of Canute the Great, the Norwegian Jarl Einar Thambergskjelfir traveled to Rus. There, he found Olaf's illegitimate son, 11-year-old Magnus, and brought him back to Norway. Einar easily expelled the Danes and made Magnus king, ruling the kingdom as his regent. Around this time, Einar also annexed the Faroe Islands to Norway. The local Jarl, Leiver Osserson, swore allegiance to Magnus, though the islands remained de facto independent. In 1037, Magnus met the new Danish king, Harthacnut, and made peace. They agreed that if one of them died, the other would inherit his lands. When Magnus came of age, he became known among Norwegians for his just rule and care for the common people, earning the epithet the Good. In 1042, after Harthacnut's death, Magnus traveled to Denmark and was crowned king. From there, in 1043, he led a campaign against Jomsburg, a Viking stronghold at the mouth of the Vistula that functioned as a pirate republic. Magnus destroyed the city, putting an end to the largest Viking war band. That same year, the Pelabian Slavs invaded Denmark to plunder the kingdom, but Magnus defeated them at the Battle of Lyrskov Heath. Later, he sent letters to the English king, threatening to invade England, which he considered his rightful domain. The nephew of Canute the Great, Sweyn Estridsson, initially recognized Magnus the Good as his king, but soon he raised a rebellion against him and lost. He attempted several more times to dethrone Magnus from the Danish throne, but in vain, and was forced to hide in Sweden. There he found an ally, Magnus's uncle, Harald Sigurdsson. After the defeat of Saint Olaf, his half-brother, the young Harald, fled from Norway. At first, he found refuge in Rus and became a mercenary. But when he courted the daughter of Prince Yaroslav the Wise, he quarreled with him and sailed to Byzantium. There he served in the Varangian Guard, the most renowned troops of the empire. Harald distinguished himself in many battles and even commanded the guard for a time. In 1043, with great treasures, he returned to Rus and finally married Yaroslav's daughter. After a failed campaign against Byzantium, he sailed to Scandinavia. Having joined forces with Sweyn Estridsson, he began warring against Magnus the Good. Then, Magnus, in an attempt to win over his uncle, made peace with him and agreed to divide Norway, though Magnus's longtime ally, Einar Thambergskjelfir, advised against it. Already the next year, King Magnus died under mysterious circumstances. According to legend, he fell from a horse that got scared of a hare. Soon after, Harald arranged the murder of Einar Thambergskjelfir while he was hunting and took control over all of Norway. Einar's death sparked a rebellion among the Norwegians, but Harald brutally suppressed it. During his reign, Harald was known for intrigues, cruelty, and tyranny. That's why he was nicknamed Hardrada, meaning stern or harsh. he moved to the capital of Norway, to the newly built Oslo, from where he ruled with an iron hand. While Harald was securing control over Norway, Svein Estridsson took over Denmark and made it independent from Norway. This displeased Harald. Citing Magnus's legacy, he laid claim to the Danish throne. In 1050, Harald went to Denmark and destroyed the city of Hedeby. On his way back, he plundered Aarhus as well. After that, Harald repeatedly raided Denmark. During one of these plundering campaigns, on his way home, Harald Hardrada met Svein near the mouth of the Nisa River. Over 400 longships took part in the battle. It became one of the largest in Scandinavian history and ended in victory for the Norwegian King Harald. Svein narrowly escaped, fleeing the battle. Despite Svein Estridsson's defeat, the Danes did not want the cruel Harald as their king, and none of the Danish jarls swore allegiance to the Norwegian king. Moreover, the influential Norwegian jarl Håkon Ivarsson rose in rebellion against Harald. But in the battle near Lake Vänern, he was defeated and fled first to Sweden and then to Denmark, where he served under King Svein. The war exhausted both kingdoms. In 1064, Harald and Svein agreed to a truce. The Norwegian king responded to the insult from Jarl Håkon Ivarsson by attacking his lands in Viken and Uppland. After this, Harald often used terror against his own subjects. In 1066, Harald Hardrada set out on a campaign to England, seeking to claim its crown. But the Norwegians suffered a crushing defeat at the Battle of Stamford Bridge. There, the king himself was killed. His son Olaf, who did not participate in the battle, survived and returned to Norway, becoming king. At first, he ruled together with his younger brother, and from 1069, alone. Unlike his father, Olaf chose a peaceful course. He carried out reforms, developed trade, and introduced new laws. For this, he was nicknamed the Peaceful. Svein Estridsson's reign was also relatively peaceful. Denmark no longer waged wars of conquest, though Svein often sent troops to aid his allies. Svein Estridsson had as many as 15 sons. One of them, also named Svein, took part and died in the First Crusade. Another 5 sons of Svein became kings of Denmark, succeeding one another on the throne. The most famous among them was King Canute IV. He ascended the throne in 1080 and planned to conquer England, as Canute the Great once did. For this, he decided to assemble a fleet of 1,000 ships. Nonetheless, this became a burden for the Danes, who revolted against him. Canute hid in a church, but the rebels found and killed him at the altar. He became a martyr and was later canonized as a saint and patron of Denmark. While Harald Hardrada and Svein Estridsson were at war with each other, in Sweden, King Anund Jakob died childless. The new king became the illegitimate son of Olaf Skötkonung, Amund, who was nicknamed the Old in Sweden. His son Anund died on a sea raiding expedition. Thus, after the death of King Amund the Old, the ancient semi-legendary dynasty of Uppsala ceased to exist. The new king was elected from among Amund's in-laws, Jarl Stinkel from western Jutland. According to legend, like the Norwegian kings, he was a descendant of Harald Fairhair and belonged to the semi-legendary Yngling dynasty. He attempted to centralize the kingdom and promoted Christianity. After Stinkel's death in 1066, a civil war broke out in Sweden. Many self-proclaimed kings emerged, seeking to restore paganism. Among them were the Erik brothers, Anund Gordske, and Håkon the Red. Nevertheless, Stinkel's son, Inga the Elder, was a skilled general and politician. By 1076, his forces had defeated all of these pretenders. Following in his father's footsteps, King Inga continued the Christianization of Sweden, which provoked a pagan uprising among the Swedes in 1084. It quickly engulfed Svealand, where a pagan, Blotsvein, took power. In 1087, Inga the Elder invaded Svealand with his troops, surrounded Blotsweyn in his own house, and burned it down. After that, Inga ordered the destruction of the ancient pagan temple in Uppsala and built a Christian church on its site. Thus, Sweden was united under a single king. After the death of Olaf the Peaceful, his son Magnus III became king of Norway. Like his grandfather Harald Hardrada, he dreamed of glory as a conqueror. After suppressing another revolt by Norwegian jarls, he assembled an army for a campaign. In 1097, Magnus III set off to conquer the Kingdom of the Isles, lands ruled by Scandinavian settlers for whom the Viking Age had not yet ended. Within a year, the Norwegian king subdued these islands one by one. In 1098, he forced the Scottish king to abandon claims to these islands. Magnus III reached the Isle of Man, where he captured the local king Lagman Godredsson, and the Norwegians took control of the distant island. After that, the Norwegian king arrived at the coast of Wales, where he defeated the forces of Norman earls who had invaded the kingdom of Gwynedd, and for this, he received the right to inherit the Isle of Anglesey. Upon returning home, he started a war with the Swedish king Inga the Elder over borderlands. The war did not change the balance of power. A year later, the Danish king Erik the Good proposed to act as a mediator in negotiations. All three kings met in Kungahella. At this meeting, peace was concluded among the Scandinavian kingdoms, and the borders of the three states were recognized. Thus, these three kingdoms appeared on the map of Europe. Wars still awaited them, civil wars and conflicts with each other. They would unite and separate again, but they would no longer disappear from the historical map.